now present the concluding episode of The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. Facing each other in a bitter and desperate duel on a clearing in the woods outside Paris, Captain Chateau Renaud and Lucien de Franchi were fighting a duel to the death, their seconds standing in breathless expectation in the background. So absorbed were the two men, and so absorbed were the onlookers, that neither hear the rumble of wheels coming through the woods.
Unfortunate, monsieur. I've pinked you already.
Not enough, Captain Renaud. I hope to do much more. Perhaps this. Just a little too quick for me, weren't you?
Dawkins! Dawkins!
Who's this?
Why, of all people, my detestable wife.
Dawkins! I won't allow it, I won't.
How did you find this place?
I bribed one of the servants. He found out from the coachman. Oh, Paul, you mustn't go on with this. The blood of one man is on my head. Not another, please.
Take her away, Monsieur Delabar. Take her away, will you? Drag her away, let us finish.
No, no.
Get away, or come with me, you must.
They'll kill each other.
Unfortunately for you, madame, you know that if I die, you get none of my money. Oh. Quiet, madame. You must come to your coach.
Oh.
Let me take your arm.
No, no.
I insist, madame. Oh. You must come to your coach. Come, madame.
Grasping Emilie firmly by the arms, Monsieur Dalibard and Pierre Gaudet escorted her off to the coach and were about to send her away when she promised that she would keep her peace. Even before this was done, the duel had continued. Pierre Gaudet, returning quickly to the clearing, saw that Lucien had received yet another wound in the arm, this time a deeper wound from which the blood flowed freely. This, however, did not seem to affect his rapier-like thrusts, which were parried miraculously by Captain Renaud, who proved to be a super swordsman. On and on these two men fought, and it seemed to the waiting seconds that soon one must tire. It was almost as though it were a test of fortitude rather than skill. And then suddenly it was all over. So quickly, so unexpectedly, that each one of the party gasped. Lucien, in a split second, had seized an opportunity and thrust his sword home. Even before the seconds had run up to the inert figure on the ground, Captain Chateau Renaud was dead.
Lucien! Lucien!
Take my sword.
Oh, Lucien. Thank heaven it's not you lying there.
It almost was, Pierre. My arm. Twice he struck, and twice I was a little slow.
Well, messieurs, everybody is satisfied?
Yes, we are satisfied.
Quite satisfied. All has been correct.
Come to the coach quickly, Lucia. Let's get away. I didn't think it would happen this way, when twice you were wounded.
I've done my duty. I've avenged my brother's death. Nothing more, nothing less.
Listen. It's Emilie. She's seen what has happened. Oh, good heavens, here she comes, running toward us. Yes, madame.
I'm sorry it should happen like this. But you have only your just desert. You killed my brother just as though you'd taken a sword and run him through.
What would I do? All my husband's money is gone. To someone else, his relation. He's left me nothing, nothing.
Money. Is that all you can think of?
But don't you understand? My father and mother. Paul told them the truth. They'll have nothing to do with me. What shall I do? Where shall I go?
So all you can think of is your own welfare, money. You can go where you like, madame. But if my guess is correct, I know where you will finish. The dirtiest gutters and the filthiest quarter of Paris. That is your destiny. Goodbye.
So Lucien and Pierre Gaudet traveled in the coach back to Paris and to Pierre's apartments. During the next 2 days, there was much to do. The collecting of Louis' few possessions, which were to be consigned to Corsica. It was with a heavy heart that Lucien read the list of instructions which his brother had made out. And it was also with a heavy heart that he bade his brother's friend, Pierre Godet, goodbye on the docks of Toulon, where soon he would set sail once again for his native home, Corsica.
Well, Pierre, this is my last journey.
You're quite sure, Lucien?
Oh, yes. When I go back to Corsica this time, I go to stay. My memories of Paris have been far too unhappy.
You'll give my love to Madame and to your fiancée.
Thank you, Pierre.
You'll be happy, Lucien, I know.
Oh, I hope so. And yet, there will be complications, the vendetta. When Marianne and I are married, there will always be the one barrier. Not a great one, perhaps, because our love is so great that it can surmount all. But our families have hated each other for so long.
I know, Lucien. But if you love truly, you can conquer any obstacle, all obstacles.
There's one promise, Pierre, I want to extract from you. You will come to the wedding?
Oh, Lucien, I shall try. I promise you I shall try. But there are so many things that I've left undone. So much has happened since I met the Corsican brothers.
Oh, Pierre, you've known Louis for such a long time.
Indeed, yes. But I didn't know then that he was one of two brothers, twin brothers. Well, Lucien, your time is almost up. Time to say goodbye. Perhaps I will be in Corsica for the wedding.
That is my earnest wish, Pierre. And Marianne's, too. Goodbye, Pierre. And may you be blessed for the kind friend that you've been to the De Franchis.
And so Lucien, his heart a strange mixture of sadness and joy, boarded the boat which was to take him back to his native land. There was sadness over the loss of his brother, and joy in the contemplation of a reunion with the person he loved most in the world, Marianne Giudice. In Ajaccio, elaborate arrangements had to be made to transport the furniture and other possessions which Louis had arranged for transportation to his mother. As Lucien's horses brought him nearer home, his heart grew heavier and heavier, since it was to be his mission to tell his mother what had happened to his brother Louis. They were waiting for him, Madame in her black velvet, and Marianne comfortably settled in the great leather chair in the sitting room. Madame, of course, had heard the hoofbeats when Lucien was far away. She was composed and serene, her indomitable spirit proving that she was a woman of courage, ready to receive bravely the news which she knew instinctively Lucien brought.
Well, Lucien?
I don't think there's any need to tell you, Mother, that Louis is dead.
We knew that. We knew it before you left here. How did my son die?
In a duel. He fought a duel with Amelie's husband.
Amelie again?
But it's enough to tell you, Mother, that he died bravely. Monsieur Godet says that he knew no fear, that he was fighting for the De Franchi honor, and that you must certainly be proud of him.
It is good to hear that. Good.
As you know, Mother, all his possessions have arrived. There are many cases in the courtyard, and... well, there is something here. Something which was to be for you and for me, Marianne. Our wedding present.
In that box?
I'll open it.
Oh, the bird. The golden bird. So Louis kept his word. The golden canary in its cage. The canary which gave him so much delight, of which he was so proud. What was it he said? You turn the key. Where is the key, Lucien? Where is the key?
Just here, Mother. Listen.
How beautiful. How very beautiful.
Mother, you must keep this bird. It's too beautiful for us. It's too real.
Oh, it is for you, my children.
No, no. This is part of Louis. That lovely, clear song, like his mind, fresh and clean, soaring high like a bird. Guileless, perhaps too good for this world. Later, Mother, when you get old, when you've gone, it will be for us and for our children.
Your children? How good that sounds, Marianne. Lucien's children and yours. And this bird in a golden cage, a part of Louis to hand down. Yes, Marianne, I will keep it for your children. Turn the key again, Lucien. Please turn it again.
Very well, Mother.
Listen to that lovely voice. Almost real. It is real. What were Louis' words? I can almost hear them now through the song. Yes, Louis, I can hear.
The notes of the bird are so sweet, so pure, so lovely, almost as though the canary were alive.
Yes, Louis.
He's like me somehow. He can sing like others of his kind, but he can't fly. Like him, I'm in a cage made of my own illness.
You have left your cage, Louis. You have escaped your illness at last. And we will always remember you. We and our children, to whom your canary will sing as he sang to you.
So concludes The Corsican Brothers, from the story by Alexandre Dumas, dramatized for radio by Eric Scott, and a George Edwards production.